Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Visuddha uvacha bhagavan api tatraiva tava devena samyuta apashyamiva sangopam indrayada krito yaman. Sukadeva Goswami said, while staying in that very place with his brother Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd men busily arranging for a sacrifice for Indra. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami and other acharyas, the words tatra eva in this verse indicate that Lord Krishna stayed in the village of the Brahmins whose wives had satisfied him by their devotion. Thus he gave his mercy to those Brahmins as well as to their chaste wives who had no one to associate with except their husbands. In that place, the cowherd men headed by Lord Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was somehow or other preparing an elaborate sacrifice to Lord Indra, and Lord Krishna reacted as follows. Om Jana Tumarandasya Janandana Salakaya Vatsuram Vatam Yena Tantmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichay Tanya Mano Bishram Vati Tam Yena Bhutame Sayam Bhupakta Dhamayam Tudati Sa Padantikam Adadanashtanam Dante Idam yache puna puna chunaju papadam boja ulisham janma janmani paragu yudbhakti visham tiyatnai apayam amanabit samandham tipambudhiya paraduka duki sinatanistam prabhumatriyami pancha kaupa turu vyasya Vipasindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. So, greetings from Govardhan. Some of you were on the class Wednesday. I was explaining that I'm staying at the small ashram of Parthasarthi Prabhu, Parthasarthi Goswami, who just recently took sannyas from His Holiness Naranjan Swami, and he graciously offered me unconditional use of his ashram, and I'll be staying here for 2 months, and it's so suitable for meditation on Govardhan. It faces Govardhan Hill. And since he built it, it's a manifestation of his heart, his consciousness. It's very, very conducive for meditation because he himself is a deep sadhaka. So very fortunate to be here. And we're doing the for the next couple of months, I guess, while I'm here in Govardhan, we'll do the Govardhan pastime. and the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the place, and the place is very significant. Each place in Vrindavan has a particular mood to support a particular pastime, and there's a personification, a Shakti, a potency of that pastime. And when you go on parikram to the various places, there's a special potency in those places when you talk about the pastime to inject the flavor and essence of that pastime within your heart. So I thought, while I'm at Govardhan, why not speak about the Govardhan Leela? And we can also talk about Govardhan and its special place in Krishna's pastimes. That's mentioned in Upadesha Samrita. There's a very interesting concept that there's actually a hierarchy of places. It fits right into the Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, which has a belief in a absolute reality, which basically has the same definition in all theistic conceptions, that an absolute reality means that there's a supreme consciousness of which nothing is outside of. And that supreme consciousness is personal. And personal means that it reciprocates in relationship. So the hierarchy of place that's mentioned in Upadesha Samrita, there's actually one place is higher than another, and the status of a place is the facility that it offers for intimate love. So we even have in the Prabhupada gave a very nice example of Actually, I was just having I'm writing japa meditation, so I had one concept is if you chant the holy name without devotion, is Krishna manifest? And my understanding was, is Krishna is manifest in his holy name, absolutely, even without the proper consciousness, but it's a stranger. What is a stranger? The person is there, but he's not revealed because there's no relationship or love. So a person reveals themselves according to the intimacy or love. The person means reciprocal in love. And what does he give? They give themselves. And the more the love, the more the person reveals themselves. So we can chant the holy name, and yes, it's absolute, Krishna is there. But if there's no devotion, will Krishna reveal himself? And therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati even described the holy name when chanted without love. He described it only as a capsule without the medicine. Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj described it as a gun that shoots blanks. The sound is there, but not the potency. But the holy name is Krishna. But how can Krishna be without the potency? It's not Krishna's without the potency. It's Krishna's withholding the potency. remains a stranger because there's no love. So in the same way, the absolute reality reveals itself according to the affection and love of the devotee. And according to the, but there's another, so this hierarchy of places that's described in Upadeshamaka, the material world means where God is not revealing himself. God is actually manifest everywhere. That's the Prahlad Leela. When there's love, then God is manifest. Therefore, we have in the Vallabha Sampradaya, what is it called? Shuddha Advaita. It's more emphasis, yeah, God is everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, but our philosophy is saying God is everywhere, but is he revealed everywhere? And when one has pure devotion, then Krishna manifests. So the hierarchy of place, and I just give this analogy, this material analogy, Prabhupada gave just the example of the high court judge. Same person, he sits on the bench and the person's at home. It's the same person. But when the person's at home, which is an environment that facilitates a particular giving of oneself, then that's Krishna. Actually, Abhinja Sarup Prabhu gave the nice example that Krishna means God at home. It's the same tattva. It's the same absolute reality. So what does Krishna mean? Krishna means when God wants to reveal himself fully, there's an atmosphere that's manifest, that's suitable for the intimacy of love that inspires God to do so. The whole Gaudiya Vaishnava theology is based on this point. When we were studying the CC, we went over the Kurukshetra Leela, not the Bhagavad Gita, but when Radharani went and Krishna went to Kurukshetra, and they met after 96 years. And the whole point of Rupa Goswami, who's has the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He actually and what was that mercy? The mercy was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him the full understanding of Krishna. And he kind of want to go to that leela now because I spoke about it. When Radharani met Krishna Kurukshetra, somehow she was not satisfied there. Why? I think there was a Rajavesh, he was dressed as a king. There was the atmosphere. The atmosphere didn't facilitate the intimacy of love. And therefore, it's not Krishna. It's not, because Krishna means when God manifests himself fully, and that means the environment of Vrindavan, which is conducive to do so. So hierarchy of places, same person, high court judge, how much of himself is manifest in that environment, in those relationships. Then he comes, there's the living room, a certain family thing. He's more relaxed, more of himself is revealed. And then there's the bedroom, more secluded, more intimate. More of the person is revealed. So the hierarchy of places, so Govardhan, very high place, it's listed as the highest, and then there's Radhakund. Why? Because it provides, as we read today, Pramada, Mandana, Leela, Kandare, the secluded places, the intimate places, the pastoral places that facilitates the intimacy of love. But actually, it's the desire, when the Supreme Lord desires to manifest himself fully, then Govardhan is manifest. And more than Radhakund is manifest. Mandala is manifest. More, 12 forests of Vrindavan. More, Vrindavan forest, more Govardhan. So Govardhan is the most special place because it's the environment that's eternally manifest to facilitate the most intimate exchanges between the Supreme Lord and his devotees, which means the Supreme Lord is most fully manifest. The whole, we're studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The whole essence of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the search for the devotee who is the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. What's Krishna's mercy? It's himself. So who has who's the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy? It's the devotees who love him the most. And therefore we see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita both with the story of Narada Muni and Gop Kumar, there's a progression of devotees who are greater and greater recipients of Krishna's mercy, and corresponding to that is a place. There's also a progression of places. But what's the topmost place? It always winds up where? It always winds up in Vrindavan. In the story of Narada Muni, it winds up in Dwarka. But where's Dwarka? Dwarka, it points to Vrindavan. It's both the people that were with Krishna in Vrindavan are talking about them, talking about the gopis. So this is very, very elevated, the Govardhan. We're going to discuss one of the prominent, most popular pastimes where Krishna is lifting Govardhan, which is also a very, very special pastime. And it's a very advanced pastime. The Bhagavatam is also described progressively. The first canto, the second canto, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And then the most intimate part is the smiling face of Krishna. That's the 10th canto. And then there's the 11th canto, that's above, that's the brain. That's why the 11th canto is mostly gan. It is intimate. So it's coming to the most intimate part. And therefore, one has to be most qualified. So the Bhagavatam is progressing to give us this. The first person to be at Bhagavatam describes the extreme transcendence. Some kind of word is used like that. Extreme transcendence, the full manifestation of the transcendence. So it's progressing. I described that the Bhagavatam, very interesting, it does two things from the beginning to the end with a particular purpose progressively. One, it frees one of misconceptions. Two, it purifies one's of attachments. For what purpose? So that you can actually hear the absolute truth and understand it as the absolute truth. You can hear the absolute truth, but if you're not qualified, you will not understand it as the absolute truth. Because the very nature of the intelligence is to filter information. And it filters information according to its experience. If one is not pure in thought, and pure in knowledge, and pure in understanding, then the intelligence, although it may hear the truth, it may not understand the truth. So if you have if you have misconceptions, then when you hear about Radha and Krishna, you will think it's mythological, or you will think it's mundane. And even if you theoretically accept it as the absolute truth, still, when you hear it, if you don't have sufficient sambandhagyan, discriminatory knowledge, even though theoretically accept, yes, this is real, still you won't hear it as real. There'll be some element of cartoon in it. So some element of fantasy in it, mythology. And if you're not pure of attachment, if you're not pure in conception, you'll think it's mythological. If you're not pure in attachment, you'll think it's mundane. And therefore, the Bhagavatam is presented very, very progressively. So very interesting. Now we're progressing, and the previous chapter, it's very, very subtle, because it's the wives of the Brahmins bless, and it shows you how subtle the attachments that have to be purified are to understand the highest truth. Because if you read the verses of the wives of the Brahmins bless, it exactly parallels, word for word, Krishna's instructions to the gopis. It's practically, I think it's word for word. A few verses. Because they go and the gopis come, Krishna says go back. The wives of the Brahmins come, Krishna says go back. It's the same thing. A very subtle point that the gopis were able actually to go to Krishna and enjoy with him. The wives of the Brahmins were not. And I actually have a friend, I sometimes mention him, Naval Kishore Shastri. And sometimes I call him up about the Bhagavatam when there's a verse, because he studied all the... And when he's talking about wives of the Brahmins bless, he was saying how exalted they were, because usually, even, you know, they don't, in the Bhagavatam, in that culture, talk so directly about women. But secretly, there's a Swami saying, just see the wives of the Brahmin. It's very extraordinary how they talk about the wives of the Brahmin, the verse of the comedy. But still, they didn't go. And I said, how come they didn't go? Because there was still abhiman, some pride, some conception that we are wives of Brahmins. We're so subtle. They achieved such perfection, but still, there was some conception still left. Where the gopis had gave up everything. They had no pride. Something like that. But anyway, so in the previous verse, Krishna, and this is it. Coming to Krishna destroying, you have to get rid of pride. It's just like in Bhajan Rahasya, I was going to Mahanidhi Swami's class. And the verse that exemplifies Ruchi is Nadanam Najanam Vasindarin Kavitam Bhagavadisha Kamaya. You have to give up Dhanam, wealth. And then it's very nice. It's a whole commentary. What does wealth mean? Wealth is even your social position. And he described that, you know, in the Varnashram system, one as a sudra, he executes that perfectly, and then he becomes a Vaishya. Prior to execute that perfectly, becomes a Kshatriya. Dhanam means also that. Any fortune, the Dhanam. So, it is described as caterpillar logic, and you go from one thing to another. You have to put your foot on one and then lift it up from the other. Till you lift it up from the other, so to go from Nishtha, six, to Ruchi, you have to lift up the foot of Dhanam, Jhanam, Sindhirin, Kavitam Vajra. You have to lift it up. Then you're at Ruchi. You have to give up. So here, it destroys the pride of the Vedic Brahmins. And now, in this, he's going to crush the pride of Indra. And in doing so, it's also going to, it's very, very important that those on the top of the material strata fail. Because if those on the top of the material strata don't fail, then we'll aspire for it. And that's why every Purana, every history, it's listed in the Bhagavad, I mean, the Bhakti Sangha. Every Purana must have the dynasty of kings. And Jiva Goswami explains, why does it have the dynasty of kings? It's all history. What is it? It's history of what? It's history of this world in relationship to the absolute truth. For the purpose of what? Inspiring liberation. So why it has to be the history of the dynasties, the kings? Because the kings are Vishayi. They're the topmost enjoyers. They have to be the topmost enjoyers because they're ruling the citizens. And they have to inspire reverence in the citizens and the mass of people. What do they respect? What do they consider high? Opulence, material position. So the king has to exhibit great opulence to facilitate his rule of the citizens. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not associate with Maharaj Kataputi, even though he's such a great king, because he was a king, because he had to exhibit the opulence. So every Purana has to show the list of the kings. Why? To show that those who are Vishayi, that are the greatest enjoyers, they also suffer. If you study the history of the kings, they're already being attacked, they're being threatened, their children are dying, everyone. And it's there. Why? Because we will aspire for that position unless we see Janma, Mityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, and Darshana. That the fault in material existence is birth, death, disease, and old age. And that force is there at every level of the material sphere. So here, this is Indra, he's the king of heaven, and he's going to get in trouble. And because of his pride, he can't, Tribhuvana Aishwar, he has all the opulence of fear, and that pride, it covers his perception. And also, it reveals, and just like Brahma Vimohan Leela is there, and this story is there. Why? Because the whole Bhagavatam is to present Dharma Projita Kaitavodha Paramo Namasarana, exclusive worship on the absolute reality. So to exclusively worship the absolute reality with faith, you have to clearly understand who is the absolute reality. That's the first verse of the Bhagavatam explains it. Who is the absolute reality? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And symptoms, Jadmat, Yasya, everything else is coming from. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Aham sarvasya sabhava, atasarvam pavartite, iti bhuta bhajantimam bhuta bhav. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. Bhuta bhav. You have to have discriminatory knowledge to have bhava. You have to actually know Krishna's position. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that Sambandha Gyan, Sambandha Gyan means discriminatory knowledge. My godbrother Pradyumna explained this to me. Sambandha means relationship. So what is knowledge and relationship? It means two things. One, it means the relationship of things to each other. You understand the absolute reality, you have to understand the interrelationship of its parts. Otherwise, you won't understand God. And Prabhupada says it's very simple. You have to understand matter, spirit, and the controller of both. If you don't understand the sambandha or relationship between matter and spirit, you will think you're the body, the controller, and you won't understand who is the controller. If you don't understand the relationship between spirit, the living entity, and the Supreme Lord, you'll think that the living entity is the Supreme Lord. And you won't understand the absolute reality. If you don't understand the relationship between the Supreme Lord and matter, and you think that the Supreme Lord is a product of matter, you also won't understand the absolute reality. So sambandhajnan means discriminatory knowledge. And by having that discriminatory knowledge, understanding the interrelationship of truths, then you can develop sambandhajnan, your relationship with Krishna. So when you actually have sambandhajnan and actually understand what is reality and your relationship within reality, then that sambandhajnan actually manifests into your sentiment in relationship to the Absolute Truth. So here it presents Indra. And I'll begin now the Leela. It doesn't begin with Krishna lifting Govardhana up, but Sukadeva Goswami said, and just imagine Maharaj Prickett. Now this is middle of 10th canto, what is it, the 4th or 5th day? And he's so eager to hear, because the beginning of the 10th canto begins how? There's a list of the dynasty of the kings in the 9th canto. And in that dynasty of kings, there's a brief description of the outer dynasty, and a little mention of Krishna, and that large, but he just wants to know everything. Because he's Mahabhagavat, he's Narayana Parayana, he's so dedicated, he wants to know everything. He's fixing his mind, and he said, this is the goal of life, and he's just completely absorbed, and he's hearing progressive. Can you imagine the relish in which he's, when he has that devotion, and he's hearing about the object of his devotion? And then the coming up to this particular Leela, the Govardhan Leela, is becoming more and more intimate. How exciting. When I was with Mahamidhi Swami, and this was also confirmed, he walked into one of the disciples' meetings of Sri Thamadar. Sometimes you never, the external sometimes doesn't reveal the person's heart always, but it was describing. They were just describing that Sri Thamadar, he got up that night, they said about 10:48 in the evening. He had this pain in his shoulder, right? And he had his disciples, massage his shoulder. And he said, put on this Manipur song, because he's born, I believe, in the family of disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, who made Manipur Krishna Kanji. He's born in a Vaishnav family. It's a very, very exalted birth. And then, from a material standpoint, he's like the first PhD from America. I mean, he's the highest birth in that country from material and spiritual, and then meets a pure devotee and dedicates his life. And then he says to them, put on the Rasalila. He liked to listen to the Manipuri rendition of the Rasalila. And Mahavedi Swami, they said 10:48, and the obstacle Leela, that's the Nishat Leela. That means the night Leela. That's when the Rasalila happens. So he's actually, Mahavedi is saying, someone may be doing so many things externally, but you don't know budding what's in the heart. And you can imagine how excited he was, even though he was they said he was very blissful, but to hear those pastimes when you've actually purified your heart. So you have to speak of Maharaj Prickett sitting here, and now this Govardhan Leela and Sukadeva Goswami saying, while staying in that very place with his brother Baladev, Lord Krishna happened to see the cowherd man busily arranging for a sacrifice to Indra. So it actually happened. This Leela starts, and this is mentioned in the commentaries and the different words, this Leela starts in the village where Krishna and Balaram stayed overnight. And what do they see in that village? That these Brahmins were performing sacrifice and were so foolish that they couldn't recognize Yajnavalkya Vishnu, who the sacrifice is for. So now he's just been through this, he's purified the Brahmins, and then what happens? He sees his own father. performing a sacrifice for Indra right after in the same place. And he's come to establish exclusive devotion for himself. So this is what's happening here. And he sees the Kaurava busily arranging this sacrifice. Tad abhijyoti bhagavan sarvatma sarvadarshana tasvayavanato prichat vidhananda parogamat. Being the omniscient super soul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired from the elders headed by his father, Nanda Maharaj. So, Abhidya means he's all-knowing. Isn't that also in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Abhidya Surat. Surat means what? Independent. Can you ask Gopi if it could also mean self-rule? Swarat, if rat means Raj, self-rule. Independent. Abhidyasrat. And proper, this is the two distinguishing qualities of the absolute reality. Fully independent and all-knowing. Omniscient, omnipotent. So this is omniscient. He has full knowledge, so he knows everything. Of course, it's very important to understand Rasa Vai Saha, that supreme absolute reality, who has all power, wants to enjoy pleasure. So actually, the whole modus operandi in the eternal position is rasa, high pleasure. And high pleasure requires surprises. So Krishna must also be forgetful, mudgata. And therefore, in Vrindavan, his lila shakti rules supreme. Whereas it all goes on by this shakti, this lila shakti, which organizes everything for Krishna's pleasure, so he doesn't have to think about it, so he can become surprised. Without surprise, what's life? I mean, if you know everything, there's got to be some rasa means, there's all kinds of emotions. You can't be constantly all-knowing, then there's no fear, there's no disparagement. You know that everything is the absolute reality. It's Krishna's mercy. There's no cause for despondency, no matter how trying circumstances must be. That's all philosophy. If God is on that platform, there's no despondency, there's no rasa, there's no fear. But also, abhidya, he's all-knowing. Omniscient, it's translated as omniscient. He understood the situation, but still he inquires. And why? Because of the pastime, the lila that he wants to enjoy. And there's two things of this lila. One, he wants to smash the pride of Indra, to establish his own position. Because Bhakti, what was that? What? He just got attacked by a cricket. Okay. Okay. What? It was a surprise, and it was kind of so much rasya. So, and this lila is very, very special. I think this lila and the Kaliya lila are very special. When there's prolonged calamity where all the residents of Vrindavan could participate, then the gopis are allowed to look at Krishna. If Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, or if he's lifting up Govardhan Hill, this huge mat, then the obviously in those circumstances, the social barriers are kind of, so the gopis, the Keshav Bharti Goswami called me today. So someone called him from America about, you know, doing a children's play. They want to have some words and all the children should have a line. So he's trying to figure out with me what each one would say. So, you know, what does Nandamard say in that lila? My son, protect my son. You know, and then what does Nandamard say? You know, he said, he has that Vatsalya Bhav, which means I am the protector, which requires an it's not God. So the flavor of mood of love of a parent requires it's Nigraha, it's called mercy, it requires an object of mercy. So the parents can never see the capability of the child, no matter how old they become, because it wounds the mercy. So Nandamaraj is feeling, especially the father. The father is more, I am the protector, the mother is more, I am the maintainer. That's two divisions of mercy, protection and maintenance. For the father, I am the protector. So what he must be saying, he doesn't see that Krishna's holding up that hill with just his pinky. He's saying, look, the cowherd boys, somehow they're holding it up with a stick, or there's some mystic power that's holding up. And so we're trying to figure out, okay, then of course, the gopis, there are the exchanges, and Krishna's holding up the hill. And then he looks at the beautiful bodies of the gopis, and he starts to shake. And then all the residents of Vrindavan are going, ooh, ooh, you know. And then Balaram, who's Guru Tatra, he's never bewildered. He looks at that, and he's laughing hysterically. They think this mountain is going to fall down, right? Then Krishna sees Balaram laughing, and he's thinking, oh, my older brother caught me looking. You know, I wasn't supposed to, I got caught looking. How embarrassing. And Krishna starts, what is Mother Yasoda doing? So you try to figure it out. I remember Mother Yasoda is cooking sweet rice. Her son's holding up this mountain. She's got to cook the sweet rice. So Mother Yasoda is cooking the sweet rice. So everyone underneath. So Krishna wants this lila. He wants to enjoy with all the residents of Vrindavan unrestrictedly. And he lifts up the mountain, but it's not because it's Krishna. He duplicates the whole Vrindavan village under the mountain. Everything is there. Not just like pulled up earth, pasturing fields, everything is there. And he's holding it up. So this is, now what will happen is a very wonderful part of the lila, which we'll go over in depth next Sunday, is that Krishna wants to stop the sacrifice division. Establish not only his supremacy, but the supremacy of the sweetness of Govardhan Hill. Because what is Govardhan Hill? Just see in our own lives, when we want to enjoy in a particular way, how important was a place, let's say in the past, because even now, we want to be spiritual. I think I'm here at Govardhan. I was just like, it's a different air. I'm feeling it. It's Udipan. You want to execute spontaneous devotional service? There's impetus in the environment. So it's wonderful. But even think, I mean, you know, people like the city or they like a particular place because it facilitates their enjoyment, which is different types of loving exchanges. So, Govardhan, so wonderful. So Krishna wants to serve his holy land. And what is the land? The land, Haridasyavani, the best servant, because it's not only an environment that's pleasing, it's not only you wear a shirt, I love New York, I love Vrindavan, I love Govardhan. But there's a real reason to love, because that place is not only providing the facilities for you, but consciously and with affection, And therefore it explains Govardhan, that the rivers are the tears of Govardhan. The trees are the hairs standing on end. It's actually a place that's the internal potency. Internal potency means what? Potency means to please the source of the potency. That's what potency is. The internal potency is coming from the direct heart of that absolute reality to please. And therefore, how is it pleasing? It's offering everything for the pleasure of the absolute reality. But for what? Out of love of the absolute reality. Vayuna drushtam. Even the wind is serving. You not only get a breeze, but you get a breeze, a loving breeze, to please the senses. But to please the senses, what pleases the senses? The breeze pleases the senses. But actually, it's real pleasure, because the sensual experience is a manifestation of the love of the wind. So Vrindavan is moving to please Krishna. So now Krishna is going to try to stop this yajna, and he begins to ask his father questions. And we're going to go. Very interesting. And actually, he presents, and I hope I can actually figure this out, but it's described in all the six darshans, the philosophies, Krishna uses on Nanda Maharaj to try to stop the yajna, including karma mamamsa. That everything is dependent on work, and even the gods have to respond to your work. And I had one interesting story. I remember I was visiting an astrologer in Jaipur. And then, you know, he was going to do my chart and everything. And then all of a sudden, he was a man that worked as an engineer in the evening. His Brahmin guru walked in. And it was archetype Brahmin guru. Fat, but kind of not, you know, like it's like a constitutional fatness. It's kind of like a nice rounded, you know, white kurta, you know, pressed. Older, with you know, flowing gray hair and rings on every finger. And then he sits down, everything stops, and the whole family starts bringing in numpkins and sweets and salty things. And he's ordering everybody around and more. And he looks at me, and he sees I'm a Vaishnava. And he looks at me with disdain. This is karma, mom, real disdain. He says, "What is your God?" Something like that. He said, "If you perform such sacrifice on the Swati Nakshatra, the results will have to come. And if they're not on that time, it won't come. The work, you know, what is this God? Everything is karma." So Krishna even preaches that, just to stop this yajna. But what it really is, it's this young boy who's so attractive and so beautiful, speaking philosophy. Who cares if it's bogus? Some of you mothers out there with your little kids who are 7 years old, what would you think if your son spoke perfect karma mamamsa philosophy? How, you know, wow. You wouldn't care if it was bogus. Your son spoke Mayavad, you know, whatever it was. Perfect philosophy. So Nanda Maharaj was just like, it was just like watching his son. It was amazing. So we're going to read next Saturday all Krishna's arguments and how his father responds. And then, actually, it'll be quite some philosophy, but I think it'll be interesting. And as I promised, this is the introduction, I only covered two verses, but in the future I will cover much more, I think. Okay, so we will end for now. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Is anybody still there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, how are you?
Hello.
I got Henry, very nice. Henry, so many giant raping lodges here, and Kostuba, Gitafrua.
I was Henry, there.
Henry wishes he was there. Okay, maybe you'll get your wish soon. I've communicated the wish right to the hill in front of me, Henry. Who's that? Hare Krishna. Who just said Hare Ram? Anybody else like to say Hare Ram?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Jaini Thai here.
Jaini Thai, Hare Bo.
Please.
Your friends have nodded their heads, acknowledging you in Columbus. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Amir Nimai in New York City.
Amir Nimai in New York City, very nice.
I'm very happy to hear you from Govardhan Hill. I think it's
yeah.
a great place for you to be. I'm very happy you're there.
it is a great place.
And I can only agree with Henry and say, I wish I were there too.
Very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Kadamba Mala.
Kadamba Mala, Hare Go. Very nice. Thank you for coming back from school and listening to Govardhan Katha. Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. And Kadamba, if you're listening, I did edit it. I sent out the new one, the one that we sent out, the journal. Somehow
yeah,
that, I don't know, I sent it in. Who else is there? Hare Krishna?
Maharaj.
Who's that?
Tomorrow.
Who's that?
Mother and Johnny.
Oh, Mother and Johnny. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
Great. Wow, that's nice. The Mother and Johnny?
Yes.
Is he the mother she was? Hare Krishna. Well, anybody
Florida.
Else?
Florida. I'm in Florida, remember?
Yeah, no, I said from Gita Nagari, now in Florida.
Okay, yeah.
But your Gita Nagari identity is stronger.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anjali. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhagavati and Swarga. We were listening to your whole talk today in State College.
Thank you. Bhagavati and Swarga in State College. People that know you're acknowledging. Very nice. Good. Good. In Nittany Lion Country. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gandiva from Hong Kong.
Oh, Gandiva. Hare Krishna. Great.
Hare Krishna.
So many...
Great to hear you, class.
Good. What time is it in Hong Kong?
It's about 10 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, okay. So that's not that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's okay. Good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Wow. I couldn't get anybody to say, when I said greetings from New Jersey, no one was interested in talking to me. Now I'm greetings from Govardhan, everybody. I could for 3 months, the last 3 months, no one would say hello. Now everybody, anybody else? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopi Manjari.
Gopi Manjari from near Potomac now.
Yes.
Good. Great. Come on over to Govardhan.
We'd love to.
When are you coming?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to come this year. I think maybe next year now.
Okay, the next year.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I've never had so many people. It's just the Govardhan potency. By any chance, who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who?
This is Gail.
I can't hear. Who's that?
This is Gail.
Oh, Gail. Hare Krishna. Everyone remembers Gail. Okay. Very nice. I didn't have so much time for questions today. But, I will leave time for questions in the future. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Bharati, Hare Krishna. very nice. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? I mean, any chance I have one devotee who stays with me, helping me, named Nityananda, and his sister sometimes listens from France. I guess she's not there today. Otherwise, you could say hello to your brother. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Sundar calling from Philadelphia.
Sundar from Philly. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. No, you didn't call me back.
I know. I'm sorry. When you return, I will.
Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Roll today. Anybody else? Okay. All right. We'll end now. Om Shikalpa Tarubhya Sra Kripa Sindhu Devi Shapati Kinam Pampani Vidhi.